But yeah, so you know, he did a lot of things, or he didn't do any things. That's kind of, you know, the debate between the historians.
He did a lot of things, or, you know, he didn't do a single thing.
Or he didn't really do much of anything, actually.
Time to learn, time to laugh, it's the Death Address.
Welcome back to another episode of the Death Address. This week we're going to be talking about Ragnar Lothbrok, the notorious Viking. Ethan did a bunch of research on it, so he's going to be the one kind of leading this and talking about it. But before we jump into it, we just want to make a correction from the last episode. We mispronounced the name of Artemisia. It's actually Artemisia, because the name derives from Artemis. So just wanted to make a quick note there. But other than that, we'll jump right into the episode. And yeah, Ethan, take us away.
All right. Yeah. You know, I did Ragnar Lothbrok. Also Lodbrok, there's kind of some different accounts of how his name was actually pronounced, and obviously we could even be pronouncing it wrong because I don't know all the exact pronunciations of, you know, Old Norse names. So
I mean, honestly, we probably are, but
so be ready for...
I thought you said Ragnarok at first.
So yeah, so I would say everybody should be ready for some very horribly pronounced names, because Icelandic names are insane. So all I can say is that there's going to be a lot of butchered names this one.
I think if you do it with that accent, you know, you're fine.
Wait, so we just started the trend of correcting ourselves for mispronouncing names on the episode? You're about to mispronounce all the names?
Exactly.
Pretty much. It's going to be a long intro next time.
Yeah, we're going to make a note on all of them.
No, we're like, we, it's like saying, with all due respect, you know, we know it's going to be wrong in this
or
one.
To be fair,
it's like... Like, you can call somebody an asshole as long as you say "with all due respect" before you do it.
Exactly. But, you know, getting into it, you know, this took place around, you know, like 800 or 845, 870 is kind of the time period, you know, AD, as far as when this is taking place in our great, wonderful world.
It's small world.
I was waiting for somebody to make a comment.
It's a small world.
I was waiting for somebody to make a comment, and that's why I was just like, Ray made a cough sound, and then it was quiet. And nobody said anything, and then there it was. Yep.
But yeah, so he obviously he distinguished himself in his raids in the British Isles, which, you know, they kind of cover in the show Vikings on the History Channel. A lot of their inspiration came from Ragnar and his sons, for that show. So we'll kind of get into that a little bit. His father, so according to the saga of Ragnar Lothbrok, tales of Ragnar's sons, the Heimskringla.
Wait, what was that? Can you say that again, please?
Can you repeat that? Yeah, repeat that one more time.
The Heimskringla. And then
that's what I thought.
The Hervarar saga and the Sugabrut, and many other Icelandic sources.
That last one was definitely right, because you had the accent.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. There's going to be a lot of butchered words and names. But, you know, he
Vikings
was the son
were
of
butchers.
Very much so. Yeah. But yeah, he was the son of a Swedish king, Sigurd Ring. They all seemed, all the accounts seem to agree that, there was a Danish king named Randver who was Sigurd's father, with in the Hervarar saga citing that his wife Asa or Asa, the daughter of King Harald of the Red Mustache from Norway, were Ragnar's father's parents.
Was that, that was his name? That was part of his
yes,
name?
Yes, he was King Harald of the Red Mustache from Norway.
Wait, no.
Are you, and you're sure you're pronouncing that one right?
This Sigurd isn't the Sigurd that Ray did, is it?
No.
I was thinking that
do
too.
Not think I so. Think I do
the Sigurd that I did was Sigurd Einsteinsson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like...
And that's no relation to Albert, right?
No, not at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, Sigurd Einstein.
No relation to our pal Bert.
What's this is all getting pretty confusing for me, guys.
It's all connected in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but right Sigurd... Sigurd is a pretty like common. It's like John.
Yeah, Sigurd's pretty much like John in Icelandic culture.
That's what I was going to say. Like, there's like 10 Sigurds throughout Viking history, and there's probably more than that.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure there were a lot of non-famous Sigurds that just kind of lived and died that nobody cared about. Well, I guess somebody might have cared about them, but you know.
Yeah, probably lots of Johns.
I mean, I didn't, but you know, someone did.
But yeah, so his father was then a Danish king, and then his mother for Ragnar was the daughter of King Harald of the Red Mustache from Norway. And then Sigurd's father Randvir was apparently the grandson of a legendary Scandinavian king, Ivar Vladfamn.
Jesus.
Vladfam?
Like, yes, so you know, there's a lot of fun names. But after the death of Ivar, his eldest son of the Danish king Hrokro Ringslinger.
I told you.
He conquered all of his grandfather's territory and became known as Harald Wartooth.
I told you, man, they all connect in the Marvel Universe.
This is pretty dope.
His nephew is Sigurd Ring, who is Ragnar's dad. He became chief of Sweden after Randvir's death, presumably as the sub-king from him, so he was just kind of next in line.
Naturally.
So then, yeah, Sigurd and Harald fought in the Battle of the Bravalla, I guess, on the plains of Östergötland. And, you know, they obviously lost many, many men during that siege on the plains of Östergötland.
Yeah, you don't want to fight there.
They say you never return.
But then so then Sigurd ruled Sweden and Denmark, so that's kind of, you know, I guess, you know, in the area that Ragnar would have been from then, is kind of that Sweden Denmark area.
Tight.
Apparently he sired his son with a Norwegian princess Afhild of semi-mythical Aflar people.
Semi-mythical, so like,
yeah, I guess she, you know, she was someone cool.
Were they centaurs that got the nervous tries?
But how much were they hanging out with Thor during this time?
As odd as it is, like, I didn't get one mention of like Thor or Odin or like any Norse gods throughout like the research.
Well, if she was from that goat land, she might have been half goat.
Yeah, she could have been like Mr. Tumnus.
Untergoatland.
Mr. Tumnus. I hope. Mrs. Tumnus, maybe, or Miss Tumnus.
But yeah. And then it seems like Ragnar then kind of, you know, was born. He took over for Eystein Beli, who was Harald Wartooth's son, who was ruling in Sweden after Sigurd.
How do you go from like Harald Wartooth to Eystein Beli? Like, what?
Well, Harald Wartooth was Hrokro Ringslinger.
You know, I think you finally lost me. I was following it until that point, but
with all the crazy things, it is hard to keep up.
Can you make a family tree image? Like, can you draw some pictures and tie it all and give us all their alter egos and stuff?
Yeah, you guys can't see what's in front of me.
All of the wrestling names we need.
Yes.
But yeah, so the accounts of his reigns, the sagas of Icelandic prehistory known as the Fornal Sargl saga. the Fornaldur saga. they talk about Ragnar's marriages and then about his feats of warfare. According to the Sugabrut, He was the biggest and fairest of men that humans' eyes have ever seen. And okay. He was like...
What's the Saga Brut again? I'm sorry.
It was just... That's just one of their, like, kind of historical, like, sagas, I guess, in that sense.
Dope.
Dude, another saga, bro.
So apparently Ragnar was a beautiful man that everybody seemed to like.
Makes sense.
So he was like his mother in appearance and took after her kin, which, you know, apparently was mystical Alfar people, whatever that
mystical
is.
Mystical or mythical?
Mythical, sorry, yeah. Mythical. Okay. I mean, you know.
Why not both?
For real.
So in the different tales, they kind of talk about him killing a dragon, which apparently was just a very, very large snake.
I mean, isn't that a dragon, though?
Yeah.
Was it the world snake, like from Thor comics?
No, they don't mention that. They just kind of say he's just a large snake.
So it's probably like referred to it as a dragon.
So I'm getting that it was, yeah, at least, you know, maybe 20 feet, hopefully.
he took down the anaconda with Jennifer Lopez and Ice Cube.
I'm going to say, these Vikings must have had some buns if the anaconda wanted some.
If you ain't got buns, huh?
Sure, what if it was just head. Like a tiny little piece of shit snake?
Like it could have been.
Man, you know, we're gonna have to tell people that was a big snake, or else this isn't gonna be good.
Otherwise, this is just not gonna be that cool of a story.
I mean, that's how stories work. You gotta exaggerate a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just tell them it was a dragon. How about that? Right? Oh yeah, that's
probably
cool.
A gardener snake, and fucking, they're like, dude, it was huge. It was so big.
It was so
never big. Seen a snake that big before.
But yeah, so that snake, it guarded the abode of Geatish Jarl Hararos, or Hararaz, daughter of Thora Borgajort. And that's Borgajort, you know, Borgajort.
Oh, Borgajort.
The Borg is in jorts, got it.
So, you know. Obviously, killing that snake, he won her hand in marriage. According to some of them, he kind of got...
I thought it was a dragon.
Yeah, it was a dragon snake.
Oh, okay.
He was like,
I thought we all agreed to call it a dragon. I thought
we were past this, dude.
So, but apparently when he killed him, that snake dragon, he kind of got the name of like hairy breeches or like shaggy breeches, just because of what he was wearing.
That's the name you deserve after killing a dragon. Like, what?
So, he wore unusual protective clothes. When attacking this serpent that earned him the nickname, you know, Shaggy Breeches.
Shaggy Breeches?
So I'm assuming, yeah, they were very loose, so maybe that when the snake bit him, it wasn't going to actually get him. That's my guess, is what what happened there.
That or they were just big fans of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Shaggy and his breeches.
Just a mouthful of shag.
So with Thora Borgajort... he had two sons, Eric and Agnar. That seems to be all that's mentioned about those sons. They seem to not really be too cool in that sense. So
yeah, nobody mentions Eric and Agnar. They kind of just left and did their own thing.
Yeah, so after she died, he discovered Kreika, a woman of outstanding beauty and wisdom, living with a poor peasant couple in Norway, and he married her. That marriage resulted in the more famous sons of Ivar the Boneless, Bjorn Ironside, Hvitserk, Ragnvald, and Sigurd Snake in the Eye. So Sigurd, yeah, you know, back to that again. It's a very common name.
John Snake in the Eye.
Yeah.
My boy Johnny.
And then, so Kreika was later to reveal to be Auslaug, the secret daughter of the renowned hero Sigurd Fafnsbane.
Did you just say John Fappingbane?
Exactly. Fafnsbane.
I mean, I would love to just like crack a bunch of jokes, but the names are funny enough as it is.
They just come with their own jokes tied in.
I do so love like, hearing Ethan list them off like one after another.
Seriously, though.
It is. I've been preparing for this.
I've been looking in a mirror reading the names every single night, guys.
Baffin.
Yeah. So yeah, the Krika woman, yeah, turned out to be Aslog, who was, you know, very famous as well. And yeah, was the daughter of Sigurd Fefsenbane.
She was the one that was in the Viking show, right?
Yes. So in the show, she does come up after Lagertha, which is the odd thing that, you know, in the research, it doesn't really mention Lagertha much, which is odd that they kind of focused on that in the show, because she seems like more of a legend as well. But it seemed like most of his sons came from Aslog, and they all kind of went from there. They all kind of grew up to be renowned warriors, and, you know, by him not wanting to be outdone, he tried to conquer England with just two ships, and, you know, that didn't work out too well.
Bold move, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out.
He was definitely, you know, overtaken by the English forces, and we could kind of get back to that, because, you know, that obviously leads to his death. So we'll kind of...
So basically, Lagertha was maybe not a real person, and in the show they decided to have her be Ragnar's wife, and then be like, it'll be more interesting for people to have Ragnar cheat on her with his actual wife in history. Like, this will make a great show.
Yeah, they did read some very weird stuff. Technically, wasn't Ivar his first son, not Bjorn?
Right, that's what I was
that's
thinking,
what it seems
too.
Like, yeah. So I think, yeah, the Viking show, they kind of take it in like a grain of salt. Yeah, they take it in a grain of salt type of thing. Yeah, because there isn't tons of information as far as Ragnar himself. They kind of think that he may or may not have just been a legend in his own right. That, you know, he may or may not have existed, but, you know, there's enough stories between similar named Vikings that they kind of put that together as that, you know, these might have all been his conquests in that sense.
Huh. That's crazy.
So it's a very interesting thing as far as, yeah, how he came about and everything. But, you know, now according to like Danish sources, they say that, you know, he kind of attacked a bunch of kingdoms in Britain, which obviously seems to kind of match up with everything else. The sources don't necessarily mention him as like a Danish ruler or anything. It kind of mixes the Norse legends with the Danish kind of accounts as well, from a thing called the Chronicle of Adam of Bremen.
Yeah, that one wasn't as cool.
Yeah, so in this one, his father, Sigurd Ring, is a Norwegian prince married to a Danish princess. And and his father kind of are both killed, or him and Sigurd are, you know, killed in battle, where then, you know, Ragnar kind of comes up to being the king.
So does that mean Ragnar's brother in the show doesn't even exist?
They don't mention that at all in like this stuff. So it's hard to say how much of like the Viking show is, I guess, accurate in the sense, besides like him being
bullshit. It was on the History Channel, bro.
It's history.
It's history, man.
I don't think that Rollo was actually his brother. I think he was just... Rollo was just Rollo.
Yeah.
Rollo?
Yeah, I think it was Rollo. But Rollo, yeah, so according to the Danish ones, his first deed is the defeat of a Swedish king, Fro or Frau, however you know that's pronounced, who killed his grandfather. And then he was assisted by this with Lagertha, is kind of where they mention her in here in like the Danish sources, who then it says Ragnar forced to marry him, and that he had sons Fridilf and two daughters. They don't even name the daughters because I guess they felt like they weren't important. And then they say that he gets rid of Lagertha, and that's when he marries Thorga Borgadort.
Now you are being silly on that one. That's not
that wasn't a real name.
That's I spelled out Borgadort for you guys.
No, it was the first part that went with it this time.
Thora was her name. Thora was her name the last time.
You need to get everyone to be able to pronounce that, Ethan. You need to teach all of us right now.
Thora Borgajort.
Thora Borgajort.
Thora Borgajort? Thora Borgajort?
Thora, those are bogus shorts.
And then in the Danish sources, he killed two venomous giant snakes. So not just one giant snake dragon, he killed two venomous giant snakes in the Danish sources.
Hey, what's cooler than one giant venomous snake? Two giant venomous snakes, yeah?
Yeah.
And then in the Danish sources, they say that the sons with Thora are Radbard, Dunvat, Secret Snake in the Eye, Bjorn Ironside, Agnar, and Ivar. So they kind of say that, yeah, they all came from Thora in the Danish sources. But he also had Uba with some just random lady out of wedlock.
Wait, so is Uba like another word for sex?
Yeah, he got his Uba on. And then they say his final marriage to Svanlog, which they assume is Aslog, then produced three other sons of Ragnvald, Eric Weatherheart, or Weatherhat, and Fitzirk.
Man, imagine just being named Eric in that family.
Seriously, though, that's what I was thinking.
So that's what's like interesting is that, you know, kind of the different sources kind of have different things of what happened in his life. So that's kind of where like it seems like the historians are kind of hung up on whether he legitimately existed or if they just kind of put together a few stories from multiple Vikings that were popular and, you know, had accomplished some things and kind of turned it into one more like uber Viking of right. Ragnar Lothbrok just being a total badass.
Which he was.
So, you know, they said that he put all his sons as sub kings in various conquered territories, which I mean, you know, he had like 800 sons, so it seems like. So, you know, he just kind of put them all over.
So, is he like
the Oprah Winfrey of kingdoms?
I was going to say, he's like the Zeus of Vikings.
Yeah, he's just like, you get an area, you get an area.
He's like the Thor. He's Thor.
He could have just been Thor. Right?
Zeus.
Well, I was thinking in the sense of like having a bunch of children with just a shit ton of people.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. So, according to the Danish sources, you know, obviously he went to England as well. He killed its king, Hama, before killing the earls of Scotland and installing Sigurd Snake in the Eye and Radbard as governors.
Do you think when he killed that king, his last words were, "It's Hama time"?
It's Hama time! It's possible. MC Hammer had to get it from somewhere.
Right.
Norway was also subjugated, and Fridtjof was made the ruler. And in Orkney later on, Ragnar with his three sons, they invaded Sweden, where a new king, Sorli, I have no idea how to pronounce the O with like the accents over it, had appeared within that heritage. His army was massacred, and Bjorn Ironside then took over that area. Then later on, they was just like, all right, Bjorn, you're in charge of Norway now. Eric Weatherhat was also put in charge in Sweden, and then he was killed by a certain Eystein, one of the, I think it was the Eystein Bali from the other accounts. So it's just kind of interesting how they kind of mix and stuff. So there's some things that match up, other things that are different. It said that his one like random bastard son, Ube, revolted against his father at the instigation of his maternal grandfather, Esbjorn. and then it said like it took a lot for him to be defeated and captured, that it took a lot of effort.
For Ragnar?
To get Uba to just kind of stop that revolt. But yeah, then, you know, they kind of took repeated expeditions to the British Isles, which Dunvant and Redbard were killed. And then we get to King Ayla, who was the son of Hama, who, you know, King Ayla is kind of the one they focus on in the in the show of the, you know, the Vikings on the History Channel. So that, you know, they have some of the history right, at least it seems like.
Well, right.
It's a soft mold.
Yeah, if you get enough of it right, then you can pretty much just do what you want.
Okay, yeah, but so, is the show worth it? Is it good?
Oh, the show's really good.
It's a lot of fun.
It's enjoyable. Wait, does that mean Floki's not real?
They do not mention Floki at all in what I've read about, like, building the boats or anything like that. So I have no idea if that's actually real or not. Man. I'm assuming somebody had to have built the boats, but whether it was, you know, Floki in the show or just somebody else that they just kind of took it from. That's for another.
The mischievous god Loki. Posing
as Loki. Hrafna Floki Vilgerorson.
Yeah.
He was the first Norseman to intentionally sail to Iceland. The precise year of his arrival is not clear. So we know he's the first, apparently.
At least according to the Viking show, it would have been around this time. And kind of throughout the history, this is, you know, when they seem to first start going to, like, the British Isles and things like that. So it must have been around this time that he would have, you know, first made the boat.
All right.
It says 830 AD. Was
830. When he... So yeah, a little before then. All right. But yeah, so I guess Ayla kind of kicked Ivar the Boneless out of England, but he still remained a persistent enemy. So it seemed like the kind of the people that were left had to accept Hitzfirk as their ruler. He was then captured by a Hellespontian prince, Daxon, and burnt alive. So that's fun.
That's fun.
You know, so after hearing that, Ragnar then led an expedition to Kievan Rus and captured the Daxon, or no, I guess his name was Daxon. He wasn't the Daxon. but he then just kind of spared him and exiled him, which is odd, because that seems like that's opposite of what they, you know, teach you about Vikings in that sense. That was, it seems like they would have, like,
was he his apple, or something. He was the Athelstan. What was the guy's name? Athelstan?
Yeah, Athelstan.
He showed mercy.
He showed mercy.
Jesus. But yeah, so unlike the Icelandic sources, the Danish ones kind of account Ragnar Lothbrok's reign as largely a catalog of successful Viking invasions over an enormous geographical area. You know, there was all the ones across the British Isles and up and down probably, like, you know, the coast of Europe there in, you know, the Icelandic areas. So it's interesting because I know, like, in the show they kind of cover them going to, like, Paris and other places like that. It doesn't seem to mention that as much in these Viking ones.
Vacay in Paris.
In Paris.
Yeah. So there's a slight bit of information, you know, there's the siege of Paris in 845, of, you know, the West Franks. The Viking forces were led by a Norse chieftain named Reginhurs, which they believe is Ragnar. So he's, you know, kind of tentatively identified as that being Ragnar Lothbrok. But the accuracy of this is, you know, kind of disputed by historians. So that's kind of the interesting thing, that, you know, they really don't know how many of, you know, these things were really done by him or, you know, other Vikings. Just because, you know, obviously, like, you know, we don't have a time machine to really verify accounts of different things.
Maybe it's possible that
he sieged Paris, but, you know, there's also some other things saying that he would have died, like, there in, like, Ireland and things like that, which, you know, that kind of takes away from his, like, epic death.
I didn't do as much research as you, but there was something I saw that he sailed so far that he ended up finding a dinosaur.
Of course he did.
You know, that seems pretty likely given the time period, actually.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, he did kill a dragon too, so
yeah. Yes. This one has to be the one.
Were there laser raptors running around?
Laser raptor. Did you happen to see Triceracop?
Triceracop.
But yeah, so you know, he did a lot of things, or he didn't do any things. That's kind of, you know, the debate between the historians.
He did a lot of things, or, you know, he didn't do a single thing.
Or he didn't really do much of anything, actually.
So that's kind of what's, you know, funny about, like, just kind of the way everything went down is that, yeah, he seems to at least be mostly accounted for kind of, yeah, attacking, like, the British Isles and then, you know, kind of getting into his death that, you know, when he took the two ships that King Ayla of Northumbria then threw him into the pit of venomous snakes to die. And that's kind of, you know,
That's the Loki pit. And that's where Loki went. This guy was definitely Thor.
It was definitely Thor-y.
So he got thrown into a pit of venomous dragons.
Yeah, they were pretty venomous dragons. And I've lost like the quote of what he said in the pit of, oh, how the piglets squeal while the old boar suffers. Let's see, here it is. How the little piglets would grunt if they knew how the old boar suffers. And that was kind of his warning towards like King Ayla
about his kids.
That, you know, like shit's gonna rain down on you. Because then all of his sons kind of led the great heathen army to, you know, kind of seek revenge against King Ayla. So it says that it was, you know, kind of led by Ivar the Boneless, Uba, Halfdan, Bjorn Ironside, Hitzverk, and Sigurd Snake in the Eye, which they are all known as historical figures, and none of their existence seems to actually be in dispute.
So was Ivar the Boneless actually, like, crippled then, or...?
They don't mention that. I didn't do any specific research on Ivar, but
typically in the lore, he had brittle bone disease. Yeah. From what I've heard, is it was something like brittle bone disease, and that's why he had the blue glowing eyes and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the English or the people of like Wessex and everybody thought that he was like a demon sent straight from hell, and Vikings thought he was a god.
So. Yeah. I mean, he seems like he's a badass. Like he led the army from 865 to 870, but then he just kind of disappears from history after that. So
are
they
all
just
three of you guys like Viking experts, and I'm the only one that's never seen the show or like,
dude,
read anything.
The show is dope, man.
The show is really cool, which made me look a lot of stuff
that's
up.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so
that's why I'm like bringing so much back to
it.
It was on the History Channel. Yeah, because this one, right here, it says that it's possible that the nickname for him was just a nickname and that it wasn't even anything, but then it also is saying that it was a curse. So who knows,
yeah,
man?
Because I know in the show they kind of make it seem like he actually has like, you know, like bone disorders and stuff, but they still make him like a total badass, you know.
Yeah, because it says that according to the tale, Ivar was the result of a curse because Ragnar had to wait the three nights before consummating or whatever. And
Aslog even told him, like, if we do this, like, our child is going to be crippled. And he said, fuck it, and still put it in her anyway.
He looked down at his penis, and his penis said, nah, dude, I can't wait. So, you know.
Yikes.
But yeah, so after Ivar just seems to kind of
like
die,
he couldn't control his world serpent.
You can't control that.
That's the snake that he beat to death.
He kept it with him. But yeah, so then it seems like Halfdan, Ragnar's son, takes over and leads the great heathen army into Wessex. Seems like a bunch of them then kind of arrive from Scandinavia as the great summer army, led by King Bagsig of Denmark, just kind of helping out and bolstering the ranks of Halfdan's great heathen army. And then it looks like, yeah, they battled the Danes and the West Saxons. It says 9 times, so I'm assuming that was probably quite a while that they were, you know, just going back and forth. It says that Bagsig was killed in 871, and then Halfdan decided to accept a truce with Alfred the Great, who was the newly crowned king of Wessex. So after Bagseg's death, Halfdan, with, you know, he was the only remaining king of the kind of, you know, invading Vikings. So he just kind of just took over. They kind of mention Halfdan a little bit later on in like Frankish sources in 873. It says, you know, Bjorn became king of Sweden and Uppsala, although this, you know, has chronological inconsistencies, but it said he had two sons named Eric and Refill.
Refill, huh? Refill, huh? Like refill my beer.
Yeah. It's R-E-F-I-L, but I'm assuming it's like Refill, or you know, cool.
I got probably Refill or something.
Yeah.
I have Eric here, and if Eric dies, I have Refill.
And then, so his son Eric became the next king of Sweden. He was succeeded in turn by Eric Refillson, the son of Refill.
Son of Refill?
The son of Refill.
I can't.
And then it says, you know,
Eric Refillson, son of Refill.
It says Sigurd Snake in the Eye is perhaps the same person as Siegfried, brother of Halfdan, who is king of Denmark, you know, back in 873. According to the sagas of Sigurd, he became king of Zealand. I don't know what the hell Zealand is up in the Icelandic areas, but apparently that's a place.
That's where New Zealand came from. That was old Zealand.
It looks like, yeah, it says Skane or Skane, the lesser Danish and isles.
You guys remember Middle Zealand from the Lego movie.
A little bit to the left Zealand, you know.
Yeah. And then it says that, you know, Sigurd Snake in the Eye might have succeeded Halfdan as king in Denmark in 877. And he may be the Viking king Siegfried, who was killed in West Francia in 887.
I like how many there's just like, and he may be, and he could be, he might be.
So that's Ethan, kind you of did a thorough job, and I have to commend you on this. This is really something.
Well, that's the thing is because, you know, based off of all these like sagas and kind of like chronicles, that they're kind of piecing these things together. So it's like the historians.
I skimmed Albert Einstein for like 20 minutes and then bullshitted most of it.
I thought you were doing a Dragon Ball Z like story right now with all these sagas and arcs going on, man.
Exactly. We're going to move into the Android Viking arc next.
The Android Viking arc.
So it's, you know, they kind of say, you know, it's like all those sons are historical figures. There's not really any like evidence that Ragnar himself ever lived. And he seems to be an amalgam of history, figures, and literary invention. So it's kind of one of those things where, like, you know, historians are divided on whether he existed.
How do you have his sons that are historical figures and all of them have it as their dad? The only known dad, nobody else, is Ragnar Lothbrok, and they're like, yeah, that guy's not fucking real, but here are his kids.
Yeah, they're kind of the academia regards most of his stories about him to be fiction. So he either didn't do all the things that are accounted to his name, or he was just kind of a legend that was created, and they, because of, you know, him being a legend, that the, you know, Ivar, like Bjorn and them, just kind of claimed him to be their father, just to gain more renown, essentially.
Gotcha.
I get it.
So basically, if Ragnar was real, he died in that snake pit with a smile on his face.
Yeah, it seems like the few accounts of the chronicles
that
were
sounds
that.
a little weird when you say it like that.
But well, because he knew the great heathen army was going to come and avenge him.
And talking, I mean, no spoilers at this point, but he in the show he dies with a smile on his face.
What? Yep, he sure does.
This is where you've gotten it from. So this whole show, the inspiration has been Vikings.
Oh, I mean, we're talking about a Viking that was the main character in that show for a while.
Yeah, Travis Fimmel does a great job.
That was his name. I didn't want to try to say it because I didn't know it, and I didn't want to look it up because I didn't look it up.
But yeah. So it seems like, yeah, a few of the different accounts pretty much, yeah, have him being killed in England and thrown in the snake pit. How they, you know, have his quote of the little piglets would run if they knew how the old boar suffers, who knows, because it's so, like, up in the air of whether he existed or not. Like, I don't know where they even got that quote from, or if that was just something that someone came up with.
Yeah, somebody probably just came up with it and was like, after he died and the great heathen army came, it was like, bro, imagine if he said this, like, how cool that would have been. He would have looked like such a badass, and then boom, he says it and dies.
Yeah, so you know, the repercussions of his death were pretty much that, you know, King Ayla brought down the great heathen army onto England and, you know, kind of fucked them over there.
Cool. So real, so real or not, real or not real, he died smiling.
Yeah. And that is the great tale of Ragnar Lothbrok, or Lodbrok, depending on, you know, how it's pronounced.
Cool. You know, honestly, I think the greatest quote of this whole episode was, he did a lot of things, or he didn't do anything at all.
Either did a ton of stuff, or he really didn't do much of anything.
Yeah, you know, and on that note, we'll call this a successful Death Address episode, and thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Hot dog.
Thanks for listening to the Death Address. Follow our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for exclusive information on what's to come and to ask us questions. Take a look at our website at www.deathshifter.com. You can find all of the links there, as well as some information about the Death Shifter team. If you're interested in supporting the show, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/deathshifter. We'll see you all next time. Till then, take care of yourselves and
don't forget to tip your death guides. Time to learn, time to laugh. It's the Death Address.